us people from Anacortes made it. We will hand out some material that will be our new study for beginning next week, but we'll do that later. We held over last week from discussing a question that was brought up the week before that, and so I wanted to, I guess I ought to get my Bible out here. So I wanted to look at that for a little bit today. And you see the word up there on the board, maybe if you can read it. I realize now I didn't print it very big or dark. That's the word paradise right there. And that's the word paradise right there. Paradise is, as I mentioned last week, is transliterated. The word paradise is, that's a P, that's an A, that's an R, that's an A, that's a D, and so on. And so three times the word is found in the New Testament, and that's the three times. And as I said, now maybe in some versions, but at least in the ones I consulted, they do not translate it other than transliterating it. And the question came up during our study of, is this mic on? In our study of the life of Christ, when he was on the cross, there in Luke 23:43, one of the fellows on either side, one of them said something, and Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And no explanation of it, of course. In Revelation, the second chapter, we're not so familiar with that one. Not that we can quote Luke 23, but let's just look quickly at Revelation. The second chapter, verse 7. This is the letter to the church at Ephesus in the second chapter that Jesus is writing to. And in that seventh verse, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcomes, to him will I give to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Anybody's version say something besides paradise? In the footnote of some, it'll say garden. And that's all right. Ted? It's a noun. Yeah.
So you can say somewhere else you have a paradise. I'm thinking about, you know, you can watch a TV show called The Adventures of Paradise, and on in the South Pacific.
Yeah. And when you go to Hawaii, you go to paradise. Yeah. A garden. Yeah. I don't even think I wrote down any definition. Let's see here. Did I? Oh, a park. It can be translated a park, a garden. From that, you can extrapolate it. It would be a peace, a place of peace, tranquility. What other adjectives would you think of that would describe a garden or a park? In Genesis, the first chapter, it says he placed a garden. But the word there, I didn't check that word in Greek or in Hebrew, if it would be tantamount to the Greek. Well, that's what we're talking about here, by the way. I didn't make that clear. So through the ages, and I'm not trying to get into a lot of the Greek thinking, but through the ages, different people have thought of a place that is beautiful, tranquil, where people go. The Greeks did that, as I understand it. And as I say, though, to translate the word, garden or park would be as close possibly to what the Greeks would think of. So anyway, that's two of the passages. We're looking at the word paradise in the New Testament from Jesus stating to the thief on the cross with him that he would be with him in paradise. It's a place by more than an assumption. It's a place where spirits go, can we put it that way? The spirit of a person, when he dies, his body is left here. We can discuss that some more. There are other words, and I don't know if we have time to talk about all of them. Hades is one. Torment is another. And then the word hell is sometimes used to translate or to talk about either one of these places and sometimes other places. The word hell to me is so misunderstood that it's used in places where it shouldn't be used. And we have the King James, yes, and Roman Catholicism. Ted? Tartarus? Yes. That's torment. The word Tartarus or torment is found also one time. I started to say three, but I'm thinking of something else. And that's in 2 Peter 2, verse 4. The passage, let's see where it is here. The passage, it's not up there. Luke 16, verse 23, where it's talking about the rich man and Lazarus. And in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. There's two words there. One of them is Hades. The other is torment there. But let me back up here. There's only one time that the word Tartarus is used, and that's what did I say, 1 Peter or 2 Peter. The word torment is a different word sometimes, and I don't remember exactly how to spell it. I might as well get some of these up here so we can have something to look at. Oh, here's my sheet. There's my cheat sheet right here. I'm sorry. This word here, torment, is found three times. Torment. Tartarus is found one time, but it means torment. Now, the word torment, though, in the three times that it's found, is B-A-S-A. I started to write an A and didn't write it. Bessanos. And it means a stone or a rock to begin with. That's where it came from. And it was a stone or a rock that if you could take pure gold and rub it on this type of stone, it would leave a mark. If it wasn't pure gold, it wouldn't leave a mark. And so it first started out then to show that something is tormented, the gold is tormented, and it leaves a mark. from that then it developed, and I won't go through all of it. It came out to be torment. Anyway, three times torment is found. Did I give you those? Luke 16:23, where the rich man and Lazarus, Jesus talked about. Also in that same chapter, Luke 16:28. And then in Matthew 4:24. Okay, I think I've got all the words that we might run about, think about. This one here then, 2 Corinthians 12:4. Was the third passage that was brought up, and that's possibly the most misunderstood or a hard one to understand. Maybe I can put it that way. 12:4. This is where Paul is talking about what happened. Usually, it is thought that Paul is the one that he's talking about himself here. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, and he doesn't name, some think it's himself that he's talking about, but whether it is or not, it doesn't matter. Whether in the body I know not, or whether out of the body I do not know, but God knows. Each one, such a one, is caught up even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I know not, but God knows. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, have any of us been caught up to paradise? Paul is saying, whoever this is, if it's himself or somebody else, that he saw things that he could not utter. That does not mean that we can't talk about paradise. We're not going to know a whole lot about it, the ins and outs and the therefores and so forth. But it is a place of rest. It is a place where the Spirit goes, according to what Jesus said here. The idea, and possibly you have heard it this way, that Hades has two compartments. Hades is divided into paradise, that's one, and into torment is the other one. And according to Luke 16, there's a great gulf fixed between the two. You ever heard that explanation? That comes from Luke 16. And that's the only place it comes from, that's how Hades. Now, Hades is the general word for paradise and torment, according to this thinking. Hades, is that found in Luke 16 or Luke 23? No, but it is found in Luke 16. That's the rich man and Lazarus. So, in the King James Version, in Luke 16, it says hell. Bad. Fact is, I don't care where, this is my understanding, this is my opinion, I don't care where you find the word hell, it shouldn't be there. Hades, in Luke 16. In Luke 23. Well, you said yours said Hades, and I was like, okay. Yeah, I can understand that, yes, because I have to think and then rethink. Now, what am I talking about here? Hades, by the way, is found 11 times. The word Hades is found 11 times. Put a T out there. Three times for paradise. Three times for torment. One time for Tartarus. Ted. I don't recall. It could very well be, but I didn't. Yeah. Probably is. It's a Greek word. By the way, when you find it, and it's written this way, That's not a translation either. Yep. We're gonna say some more about it. Go ahead. Yep. I don't know where the third heaven is. There are some that say, here's the world. The first atmosphere is first heaven. Pardon me? Yeah, I know. I know where the word is, but I don't know where the third heaven is. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. That's the way some people think where the third heaven is. I don't know where they get it. If they get it somewhere that's reliable, fine, but I don't know where it is. Paul said this guy, himself or somebody, was caught up. He saw things there that he wasn't allowed to speak, is about the way he put it. Can't speak it. Neither you nor I have been there, so we can still talk about paradise, Hades, torment, and so on, whatever we can learn. But a whole lot of it we don't understand, or it's unfathomable, or it's just, you know, have any of you ever been, your spirit been to paradise? No. I'm sorry?
There are towns named Paradise.
Yeah, well, okay. Paradise, Tennessee. All right. Paradise, Arizona. Go ahead, Laverne.
I'll just express what I got.
Okay. That's what we want. Well, that might be one way of putting it. All I understand is Paul says, I don't know where this guy that went up to the third heaven was in the body or out of the body, but he was caught up to paradise, and there were things there that are not lawful to be spoken about. We're not going to talk about it, he says. Well, I guess, yeah. I mean, what am I going to believe? I don't have anything to that says what it is, so I can't believe it, because nothing is said. We're not going to talk. If I say we're not going to talk about such and such, okay, you know we're not going to talk about it, but do you know what such and such is? No. If you don't talk about it, you don't know what the subject is. That's true. That we believe by faith that Paul says it exists. We take his word here by the Holy Spirit that this happened with somebody. And that what was seen there, is that what he says? Heard. What was heard there was what was unspeakable. When it's not, Paul says they can't talk about it. Brian? Let's go on to verse 5, after verse 4. On behalf of such a one, I will glory, but on my own weakness, but I will not glory, save in my own weakness. For if I should desire to glory, then the word is boast there. I'm reading from the Old American. For if I should desire to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall speak the truth. But I forbear, lest any man should account of me above that which he sees me to be or hears from me. And by reason of the exceeding greatness of the revelations, that I should not be exalted over much, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted. Paul is talking about being boasting. That's the context here. And so he says, this guy heard some things that are unspeakable. Is that the word this old version puts it? Yeah. And not lawful. So I'm not going to talk about them. That's something I could boast about. I'm not going to.
The Lord's helping me with that because he gave me.
He gave me a thorn in the flesh. So that I won't boast about it. Okay.
Almost the whole letter, and you've been defending himself. I don't apologize.
Yeah.
That's got to be kept in mind here. Otherwise, we get floating off into paradise.
Yeah. And we're not wanting to be floating off to paradise yet. By the way, did I say Hades? Hades down there 11 times. Hades, according to the Greek thinking, is the unseen world. The word Sheol in the Old Testament, S-H-E-O-L, is tantamount to the same thing. So, When the spirit leaves the body, it goes to the unseen world, okay? Now, according to Luke 16, there was the rich man and there was Lazarus. And the rich man said, lifting up his eyes in torment, said, what was his request? Okay, send someone back. And what was the answer? There's a gulf here, okay, between, Abraham's bosom would be the paradise here. But anyhow, that's, as I've already said, is where that idea comes from. But the word Hades, I was going to mention, is found 11 times. And I'll give you these later if you want to write them down. But in Luke 16, verse 23, in Matthew 11, verse 23, and in Luke 16, verse, 15 as well? Matthew 11, 23, Luke 10, 15, Matthew 16, 18. I'll come back to that one. Acts 2, verse 27, also verse 37 is the word that found Hades. Revelation 1, 18, Revelation 6, 8, Revelation 20, 13, and Revelation 20, verse 14. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55. Matthew 16, 18, you remember what that refers to? And I will build my church. And the what? The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. So what was Jesus saying? And you can go to Acts, the second chapter, where Peter talks about it. Death is not going to prevent me from building my church. But the word Hades is what Jesus used, or what is used in that passage. So Jesus overcame, did he not, death and Hades. And I had my finger on that passage. I don't see it right now. In Revelation 20, verse 13, death and Hades gave up the dead. In Revelation 20, 14, death and Hades are thrown into the lake of fire. So we could talk about all of these passages with Hades and so on. But back to our original question and thought. Paradise is found three times. And Jesus said, you'll be with me after we die. Kelly?
This isn't where I originally read this, but I looked up Bible history word origin. And it says a word of Persian origin, meaning a royal park and garden. But the word doesn't occur three times in Hebrew scripture. Song of Solomon, where it's translated as an orchard. Nehemiah translated a forest, which means a park. And
Kelly reading that mentions that it's from Persian. This comes into the Greek. I don't think that's a Persian word, but I could be wrong. But anyway,
it was brought into
Greek.
But the Persian
the,
used
Yeah.
Falcon,
yeah. You've heard the Hanging Guards of Babylon. That's not Persian, but later it was. But that would have been paradise. I said Hades. I actually meant paradise is what we were talking about. Place of the garden. Okay, it's all clear now. I don't know how much time I spent looking up these words and so on, and it gets mind-boggling because of this passage uses this and this one doesn't and so on, and as I said, one other thought here before we go to the other things. The word hell is used a lot of times to translate several of these words. I don't know. I didn't look it up. I mean, I've forgotten. Let's look at it. 1 Peter for Tartarus. What was the passage there? 1 Peter the 2 Peter. I'm sorry. 2 Peter the 2nd chapter, verse 4. Let's see what this version says right quickly. 2 Peter 4. If God spared not the angels when they sinned, but cast them down, what's your say? To hell and committed them to the pits of darkness. That's what this, pardon me? You're right. That's what this one says. It uses the word hell, but at the bottom footnote, it says Tartarus. Wherever I got that word. Oh, down there. 1 Peter, I said 1 Peter, 2 Peter 2:4. Is that it? Anyway, hell is sometimes used to translate Tartarus. Sometimes it's used to translate Hades, not paradise. A lot of times, the word that hell is translated from or in the place of is Gehenna. Hell is a pagan Roman Catholic term. And they just messed it all up for understanding a lot of places. What it means and what it's really talking about. It's kind of like baptism, only they didn't transliterate a word. They just used another word that came from their ideas when they used the word hell. And a lot of times they instead of using the word hell, they should have used the word Gehenna. But that's not a translation either. But it would have been better than what they used of the word hell, because so many times it is not what Gehenna meant. Okay, we're through with that, unless you've got something you're really burning to question or comment about. We didn't go to the third heaven, so we can talk about it, but we can't talk about what he didn't talk about, because we don't know what he talked about that he said was hidden. Appreciate your participation in the study of the life of Christ, the survey of the life of Christ. What we're going to be doing beginning next week, and Brian will help me here to remember what we need to say about it, is a study of the early beginnings. Let me take myself one. And as you'll see from this sheet, you take one and pass it around. This is the first sheet, the first page of this is the outline of 6 lessons. And this study is Genesis through Joshua. So we're going back to studying the Old Testament. We're not studying it verse by verse, but page 1 here is kind of an overview of the first 6 lessons. There's 22 in all, but the first 6 lessons. Now, the first lesson begins on page 2, and it has to do with the Genesis, the book of beginnings, the creation account, just like it says here on the first page, those five things there. So take this and look at it. There's some questions here that some of them are pretty good to discuss. There's one there on very first page, second page rather, the first page of the lesson is number one. Find five references to Genesis chapter 1 through 11 in the New Testament. So there's a little exercise for you. So there are 10 questions sprinkled throughout this first lesson. And what we hope to do is to take one lesson in 2 weeks. In other words, spend 2 weeks on one lesson. And so we're not going to spend, we don't want to just rush through it, but we also don't want to get bogged down and spend 2 years in the book of Genesis. Larry?
I got a question.
Yeah?
Purgatory.
Yeah?
Is that the Bible or is that something the Catholics made up?
No, the Catholics made it up. Yeah. Glad you brought that up. Even though is that what we're talking about? Yeah. Purgatory in the Roman Catholicism is a place where you go when you die and you suffer if you're bad, and then you get to come out of it and go to heaven. Simplified explanation. Yes, Catholic brought that up. Say that again? Yeah. I missed the question then. Repeat it for me.
He's talking about indulgence, but he's talking about the living paying someone's way out of purgatory. Paying that, afraid of it. Still Catholicism.
Still Catholicism, yeah. Mo, you had?
Yeah.
They baptize for the dead that are in purgatory, although that. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. There is, of course, Roman Catholicism also says that if you sin. I don't know how much they do this today, but way back when, and this is one of the things that Martin Luther rebelled against, if you sin, then you can pay a penance, and your sins can be forgiven by the priest. Okay, back to our study, early beginnings. A lot of times we say, well, why study the Old Testament? I'll go out on a limb and say, if you don't understand the Old Testament, you're not going to understand the New. Okay? Particularly some of the language in the Old Testament. But it's very important, to, particularly here in the beginnings, to see some things that are going on that will lead to the things in the rest of the Old Testament, but also in the New. So, as I said, we'll try to do one lesson in 2 weeks, and we don't want to just rush through it, but we also don't want to get bogged down and just going on and on and on in the first chapter of Genesis, for instance. The second lesson is, in the beginning, man's rebellion against God. So we've got the creation in the first lesson, second lesson, sin, and so forth. And so keep that with you, bring it back. I went ahead and I could have just printed that outline there on a separate sheet, but to save paper, I just used two sheets and put that on the very first one. We won't repeat this again until we get to the lesson 7, and then we'll put lesson 7, 8, 9, 10 like this. Any question about what this is about? So we want you to look at it and read it, digest it, and be prepared to discuss it. Any question you have, any comment, et cetera, that we want all of that as possible. Brian, go ahead.
Are you going to mention that this piece, the overall big picture of what we're...
You go ahead and mention it.